Well, good morning. Fast announcements, fast song. I guess they want me to say a little more today, so we can work with that. That's all right. Well, good morning to you all. I'm glad to be up here today. I'm glad to be worshiping with you today and in this Advent season. It truly is a blessing. I want to welcome our friends online this morning that are joining with us that way. And any guests that are with us today, thank you for being with us. Children, you're free to go to Children's Church if you haven't already. Looks like they're gone, so they know their key. So next week is the Children's Christmas program already during second service. If you come during first service like most you do, stick around in our fellowship time between services and come back for the Christmas program. It should be a wonderful Sunday. We're looking forward. The kids have been working hard preparing for the program. And then the following Sunday is Christmas Eve already, where we'll have our Christmas Eve service that night at 4:30. So busy time of year, but exciting and fun time of year at that. So there are some things coming up, as Si had mentioned. Today, we're going to focus on the Christmas season, and more importantly, Advent season. You might think, well, this is simple enough. We have an Advent calendar, pick the topic for the week, go through it, and give a message on it. Hope, peace, joy, and love, just work right through the calendar. And Lord willing, some year I will do that. But for this year, I just have today to speak during Advent, so I'm going to do it a little bit different. I want to stay true to the season, what Advent means and what Advent stands for. So our title for today is Preparation and Anticipation. That's our title, and I'll explain that. Advent is a period of spiritual preparation in which many Christians make themselves ready for the coming of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They celebrate Advent typically involves a season of prayer, fasting, repentance, anticipation, and hope and joy. Okay, it goes on to say, it says, many Christians celebrate Advent not only by God's first coming to earth as a baby, but his presence with us today through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then preparation and anticipation of his final coming at the end of the age. That's where we're going today. That's where we're going to be focusing on. I think it fits perfectly where we are as a church and as a nation and the times that we're living in. I think it just fits perfect. Preparation and anticipation, they go hand in hand, and I think if we look at it biblically, it would be unloving to leave one apart from the other. They have to fit together, and we'll explain that. There's a vast difference in what it means for preparation this time of year from the world to the believing church. There's a difference there. We're going to explain that. We have the world's view and what that means. We have what it means, a biblical meaning of preparation, and then there's oftentimes they get blended together. The two come together and look alike, and I think that's okay. I think it's beautiful that the world tries to set aside this season, the Christmas season. They make it special and unique. I thank God for that. They try. They really do. They go out of their way. Now, their motive might be completely different than ours. Yeah, it is. It's commercialized and it's consumeristic and they're trying to make money and they have a different approach. But they're still making it special and unique. And I thank God for that. But we know in our nation, Christmas and the celebration of Jesus is getting less and less every year. It has in my lifetime, and it just seems that way. Jim said it last week. He quoted that Jesus has competition this time of year. I think that's a good quote. He really does. But I think if you put it, take it to the Bible or to the scripture, the competition's pretty limited. Jesus still has the upper hand. The hope of the season, the joy of the season, the most wonderful time of year, right? We sing that. This is the most wonderful time of the year. Okay. Amen. This gets replaced with other things in preparation for Christmas. The stress of shopping and budgeting and presents and all of that piles on us, right? We feel that. The heaviness of decoration. Does our decoration match up to our neighbor's decoration? Do we have to add one more inflatable snowman to make it meet up with our neighbors? We feel that pressure. The battle of scheduling all the events that take place this time of year. There's wonderful events that take place during the Advent season. Lots of Christmas programs, and they're good to enjoy them. We took part of the drive-through nativity last night. It was beautiful. There's lots of things calling for our attention. The hurt of a lost one this time of year. Maybe they're not joining us for the first time. That heaviness, that weight. I know there's people in this room that are experiencing that this year. And not only that, we got broken families. Maybe a divorce that's happening and trying to battle all that. Who gets what, when, and where? All that weight comes on this time of year. And I believe if we're honest, this can be the most challenging time of year. It can be the heaviest time of year. And my family knows me well enough, I can't lie. The Christmas season is typically not my favorite time of year. And it's ebb and flowed throughout my life. When I was secular, you know, it was all about the presents and what am I getting and this and that and all the family events we have to go to, and I would grumble about it. And then I became saved, and I seen this renewed picture of Jesus and the Christmas season, and I was just thrilled by it. But I noticed other people weren't. And that weighed on me. It's like, why isn't Jesus central in this? So that weighed on me. And it's just not been my favorite time of year. But studying and preparing for this message was an encouragement to me, and I pray that it will be for you. Church, our preparation during the Advent season should be a whole lot different than the world. We're going to go to Scripture. We're going to spend some time in the Gospel of John today. And we're going to use some other supporting verses to go along with it. So if you got your Bibles, John 1:14 is where we're going to start. I'll be in the New King James. It'll be up on the big screen. John 1:14, and we'll go from there. It says this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Friends, this is the fulfillment of the much anticipated coming of the Messiah. That's what's going on here. This is Jesus. He is eternal, leaving his dwelling place, coming to earth with us, God with us, Emmanuel. That's what's going on. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. That's Jesus himself coming to earth for us. The fulfillment of the hope of the future Messiah. This would have been much anticipated. Very exciting event. They had been waiting for many, many generations for this to come. Christians celebrate the fact that God has visited his people in the person of his Son in order to be crucified and raised. They awaited his second coming, believing that all of God's promises made and through Jesus will be realized in the age to come. Right now, currently, we are living between the two comings. We all are right now. That's where we're at. The two comings of Christ are held together in Christian thought, action, and prayer at all times. They cannot be separated. Jesus was born in order to die. He came to us in a manger this time of year for that reason. The fact is, all of humans that have ever lived on earth, God's Son is the only one who's entered this world for this purpose. He's that special. We're going to keep unpacking that. He came to die so that we might live in and through him. It is not enough then for us to be content with his first coming. We must wait in anticipation and confidence and hope of his second coming. Right? That's where we're at. That's where we're living today. We're going to jump to John 14:1-6. And I know a lot of you guys know what John 14:1-6 is, and you probably haven't heard it read too often during an Advent message. But we'll stick with me. We'll unpack it. John 14:1-6. It says this: Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5, Thomas steps in. He says, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus replies, he says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Casey, we're talking about Advent. We're talking about Christmas. I think you just switched gears on us. You're going a different direction. You're now going to the way of glory, okay? I've had so many conversations with people in the last few weeks that this is not the most wonderful time of year for them. It's just not. They're struggling. I sit in prayer meetings. I sit in my office and people come visit me. People call me. I talk to people. And the overwhelming mood I hear from people is this is not the most wonderful time of year. I'm talking about people with depression, anxiety, hurts, despair, suicidal thoughts. These are the conversations I've been having the last couple weeks with people. And just because it's Advent, that doesn't go away. In fact, it'd be insane to think just because the calendar date changed or we have a different season that it would just vanish and it would be gone from us, right? That's just not, it's not how it works. So verse 1, what does it say? Let not your hearts be troubled. That's a good place to start. Let not your hearts be troubled. Why would Jesus say this? Well, if you look back in John, if you go back to chapter 13, he just got done explaining to his disciples that he's going away. Not only is he going away, but he's going away to a place they cannot be with him right now. He tells them that he's going to be deceived by one of them. One of them is going to betray him. Then he goes on to say, and he says, you know, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. That's all happening in chapter 13. So most likely they were heavy-hearted. They were troubled at this point. The disciples were. So that's most likely why Jesus went ahead and said that. But would Jesus tell them something that was not possible? Would he convey something to them, a command to them that you wouldn't be able to achieve? Would he say, let not your hearts be troubled if that were not a possibility? I think that would be out of character for Jesus. Many times throughout Jesus' ministry, he's given that advice. He's given the same advice to them. He'll give the same advice to us today. You might be thinking, or you might even say, you might even cry out to Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know where I'm at right now. And his answer would be, yes, I do. I do. I know exactly where you're at. I know exactly what you're going through. I know what's in your life right now. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. He's in your situation, right? So he's aware of all of that. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. What is he saying? He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's simply saying this, friends. Take your eyes off your circumstance. Especially this time of year. Take your eyes off your circumstance. Focus your eyes upon me. That's Advent, the coming. That's what we should be doing. He says, view this world through this supernatural lens, through me. Focus on me this Advent season. We know this world is full of trouble. He's saying this is not your home. You're just passing through. You're just here for a season, and then you're gone. And then he says, what does he go? He goes right on to say in verses 2 and 4, in my Father's house are many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And that where I am, there you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And as wonderful as that place he's going away to prepare, the true glory in all of that is we will be in his presence. That's the glory. That's where we're heading. That's Advent. Our eyes should be focused on Jesus. And the coming again, it says that I will come again and receive you into myself. It's the definition of Advent right there. The coming. The second coming of Jesus. It's not all the presents under the trees. It's not all the gatherings. It's not the lights and the shopping. It's Jesus. That's the Advent season. That's our focus. That's where we should be at. Yes, Casey, I understand. I've heard the cliches. Jesus is the reason for the season. I hear it every year. But is it possible we have some Thomases among us? Is it a possibility? If I'm honest, I've been a Thomas. So what do I say? Lord, I do not know where you're going. I do not know how to get there. Jesus explained to them for the last 3 years that this was going to happen. This shouldn't have been a surprise to Thomas or to any of the disciples, but they all seemed to be surprised by this news. Now, I'm not getting down on Thomas. Matter of fact, I'm very glad that he said this, and this is in the Bible, that we can see this and give ourselves some hope. So Jesus answers him, Thomas, you fool, I've been telling you for 3 years where I'm going. You're not welcome to be my disciple. Seeing if you're listening, no, that's not what he said. And if that's the voice you're hearing, don't listen to that voice. That's not of our Lord. It's a different voice. Reject that. Jesus gives the answer we need to hear in verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Most beautiful words. That's his answer. The Advent season is all about Jesus. It truly is. It is the reason for it. A baby that came to a manger for us. He lived this perfect, sinless, sacrificial life for 33 years perfectly on our behalf. He died and was nailed to a tree, the sacrificial lamb covering the sins of a dying and dying world on himself, taking that upon himself, seated right now at the right hand of the Father, preparing that place for us, allowing his Holy Spirit to work through us right now, today. As we focus on Advent, the second coming, he is coming back to establish his kingdom that will have no end. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. That's Advent. He's coming back. And that's why we should be anticipating Christmas, the first Advent, why he came, and then, of course, the second Advent. They have to go hand in hand. We got to look at them together. We are called to share this wonderful news of the gospel to a lost and dying world. Sure, we can put up the decorations. We can buy the gifts and give them out. I would argue we should be the most generous people out there giving our gifts. We can sing the songs and go to the gatherings, all good and well. But we are called to be the salt of the world and the light of the earth. That is our preparation. That is not limited to the Advent season, but it gives us an extra oomph this time of year to bring it up and to talk about it and let the power of the Spirit within us move in whatever situation we're in this time of season. And now during the Advent season, we are called to action, a time of discipline, intentional repentance, and the confident expectation, hope of Christ coming again. It gives us the opportunity to examine our relationship with the Lord and also with others and to confess sins and to reform our lives, to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. That's what Advent should be doing. It should be in preparation for all that. I've heard it said multiple times in the last few months, the end times are coming. We're right there. We are in the end days. We're in the last hours, maybe even minutes. I've heard it said so many times lately. Though the coming of the Lord is certain, the time is unknown. It will come swiftly and unexpectedly. Jesus warns us not to be caught off guard the day he arrives. Matthew 24:44 says it this way. Always be ready, because I am coming at an hour you do not expect. So we must be attentive and prepared always. Jesus urges us even to be vigilant, taking care of our lives as Christians should, watching and praying and not to be found unprepared in the time of his coming. Mark 13:35, it says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Be prepared, especially this Advent season, for the coming of Christ. And 2 Peter 3:11-12 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God? Our anticipation should be bittersweet. It should be a bittersweet experience. Because on one hand, we know and we have the hope and joy of eternal blessing coming our way that we'll receive through Christ Jesus, and we're living it today in that hope and anticipation. But on the other hand, we have a multitude of people in our lives that don't have this hope. They don't have this peace. They don't have the love of Christ. They're living outside of that. They are not born again. And we know what's going to happen on that day, whether he returns or they pass away. Either way, the result will be the same. So it's a bittersweet anticipation. Though we have placed our hope in the coming Savior during this Advent season, the hope can be inflamed within us when we reach out and share lives and care for people in need, for the hungry, the homeless, those who suffer with sickness or sadness. The Advent can be a time to touch those in need, not only so that we might share God's love with them, but also that the yearning for the kingdom of God may be renewed in us. It can strengthen us. If we set our hope more fully on God, his coming during this season, we can use this hope as a weapon in our hands to fend off despair or doubt that arises in our mind. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Isaiah 40:31. So the Advent not only should help us focus more on the Lord to get in touch with our needs for him and to replenish our hope in him, but also it should help us celebrate Christmas with a more greater meaning for Jesus. And I say amen. I say amen. And I could stop right there. I even wrote that in my note. You could stop here, depending on time, but we got time. So we're going to keep on going. There's one more element I think we should focus on this time of year. And it's a powerful element, and we just did it. And it's the element of music this time of year. We have a whole different genre of songs we bring out this time of year. Most of them are hymns. And we always close with a song during our service, so we'll do that just like we always do. But I just want to ask you to kind of lift up your voices and sing this special song with us today before we close. I can't sing, so I surely can't leave you in some special music number. That would be horrible. Miss the Love can sing, but she doesn't quite have the confidence to come up here yet, so be praying for her. So we'll have to sing this wonderful song together. Last year I chose Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which is a powerful hymn that stood the test of time. Some of you may remember that. This year I've chosen O Holy Night. And the reason I chose O Holy Night, I want to give you a little background on it. It really is special and powerful. It's also in preparation of anticipation of the Advent season. It fits perfectly. O Holy Night originally was written in by a poet and author, Placide Capot, in 1843 in southern France. The music of the song was composed by a prolific French composer and music critic, Adolphe Adam. And in 1855, the song was translated from French to English by John Sullivan Dwight. That's what you'll see in your hymnal if you open that up. Now, near the end of 1843, a church organ in southern France was being renovated. And even though Capot showed no interest in religion or in any kind of spirituality, none. That's where he was. He was asked by a parish priest to write a Christmas poem. And when he did, shortly thereafter, Adam wrote the music. And the song was first performed in 1857 in southern France. O Holy Night is one of the most well-known Christmas carols reflecting on Jesus' birth and his redemption of humanity. The power of this hymn covers the mystery and majesty of Jesus, his glorious birth as he come to us, the fallen world in need of a Savior, chains of bondage broke and free in hope, and the power and glory forever proclaimed. This is all wrapped up in this song. Remember, written by a non-believer. This guy had no faith in Christ. He had no religion background. That's where this guy was at. And this is what he wrote. I want to invite Jess and Jane up to prepare to close us for this song. But that is my favorite part of this story. That this was written by a non-believer in South France as a poem for Christmas. And God transformed it into the most powerful Christmas hymn of all times that we sing every year by a non-believer. Our God is awesome. He will take circumstances beyond our wildest imagination and use them to his glory continually. I just love the story. So I want to ask you to help us sing this song with us today before we close in preparation and anticipation of this Christmas song in this Christmas season. So let's sing this song, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. Man, if that don't give you the chills, I don't know. Imagine a man. Imagine the head knowledge he must have had to compose that poem and what he knew about our Savior, yet he had no religious affiliation. That just boggles my mind. I wonder if he came to know the Lord through singing that beautiful hymn. I gotta think he did. Man, what a wonderful time of year this Advent season, preparing for Jesus to come, for the celebration of Christmas, and then the anticipation and preparation for the second coming. What a wonderful time of year. I just pray that this lifted your spirits like it did mine. Let's seek the Lord in prayer before we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We can gather here corporately and lift up our voices and sing in praise of the Most High God, the birth of the Son. Lord, what a wonderful time to spend together. And Lord, we're just so thankful. Just move in our hearts this time of year as we're in our marketplace or in the stores or wherever you put us, Lord, that we would have this hope and joy and peace and love with us to share it with a world that doesn't have it. Lord, that is our goal. That is our direction. That's what we should be doing. We thank you for that opportunity. Go along with us. Prepare our path for us. Have your grace just be working in abundantly as we go out from here, Lord. And just warm our hearts this time of year as we celebrate the Christmas and Advent season. Lord God, we're so thankful. And we pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.